name is Thomas Woods.
Okay, if you can hold one moment, we need to see if we can get a couple of phone calls in, and if we can get the phone calls in, we'll be ready to go with you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Please enjoy this Verizon ring back to our line party of speech.
Oh, that's different.
Hello?
Hi, Ms. Williams?
Yeah.
Ms. Rosemary, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We understand that you wanted to take part in the hearing of Mr. Thomas Woods.
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, if you would just hold on for a minute, I gotta make one more phone call, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Ms. Kim Mann?
Mar, yes.
Mar, okay, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I understand that you wanted to participate in the hearing of Mr. Thomas Woods.
Yes.
Okay. Could you hold on 1 minute, please?
Yes.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Moore, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, sir, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record, please?
Woods?
Yes, sir.
ADC 177339.
Okay, Mr. Woods, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Right next to her is the Honorable Luis Quinones. In the middle is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. On the right is our board chair. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I am going to be acting as your panel chair today. And to my left is the Honorable David Mills, sir.
Hi,
sir. Sir, also with us today is Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole office, sir. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you signed and received a notification form that advises you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
I do.
Okay, sir. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or a family licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I'll be representing myself today.
Okay, sir. Ms. Moore and Ms. Williams?
I don't know, is there a way that you can mute your phone as we're going through the hearing and then we'll get back to you?
I'm sorry, did you repeat?
Is there a way, someone has their phone, there's some background noise coming in, so I was asking, is there a way that you can mute your phone as we're going through the hearing?
Yes, it's probably me. Can you hold on for just 1 second, okay?
Okay.
No, and I'll move.
So, Mr. Woods, did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
Did not hire an attorney and I will be representing myself today.
Okay, thank you, sir. Ms. Williams, along with Ms. Moore? Hello?
Hello, I'm sorry.
Okay, who am I speaking with, Ms. Williams or Ms. Moore?
Mr. Winsmore.
Okay, is Ms. Williams, you still on the line?
She muted her phone.
Hello, Ms. Williams.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. So at this time, Ms. Williams, Ms. Marr, Mr. Woods, Mr. Osborne, I'd like to swear you guys in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Woods?
Yes, sir. I swear.
Ms. Williams?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Marr?
Yes.
Mr. Osborne?
I do.
Okay. Mr. Woods, your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, sir, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one. Mr. Woods, you have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. I need you to state whether that allegation is true or false. You have the allegation listed on your warrant states you in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 14E as demonstrated by your act of removing the equipment assigned to you on or about August 31st, 2017. Mr. Woods, is that true or false?
It's false. I did not remove it. It was damaged, but I didn't remove it off of my body.
Okay, sir. Okay, then that you stated that's false, I'm going to go to Mr. Osborne to get some additional information.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On August 31st of 2017, Senior Police Officer Mazza received an offender violation notice on Thomas Woods, ADC number 177339, for a GPS electronic monitor unit. It had a strap violation on 8/31/2017 at 11:11 a.m. Shortly after the offender called the Safford Patrol Office at approximately 11:14 a.m. and stated the strap broke on his ankle bracelet. SPO Mazza directed the offender not to leave his residence. SPO Mazza responded immediately to the offender's residence located at 9043 South 6 Shooter Canyon Globe, Arizona, 85501. At approximately 2:21 p.m., SPO Mazza, along with Gila County Sheriff's Deputy, responded to offender's home. Upon arrival, the offender was sitting outside his home. The offender's electronic monitor was inspected and the telephonic staffing was conducted with CCS for red. The offender had stated he was working with his shovel digging a water drain when he hit his electronic monitor and broke the strap. The offender was wearing the electronic monitor on the inside of his left leg. Visual inspection of the electronic monitor had no scratches or damage, only a small ding approximately 2 millimeters on the right side of the half-inch tab that lines up the unit's charger connection. The black pin tray on the right side of the monitor was broken on both sides of the silicone. The offender's leg was inspected and revealed no cuts or bruising. Staffing concluded that with the offender's description of offense, the electronic monitor would have had more visible damage and or the offender would have sustained injuries to his leg. The offender was taken into custody and transported to the Gila County Jail.
Okay, Mr. Woods, is there anything that's not true about that?
It's just the way whenever I was working and I had stepped on the shovel, my foot came, shovel clipped the strap, didn't get the monitor at all. It clipped the strap and plucked the strap out of the monitor. And just as soon as that happened, back in, it wouldn't stay in. So I immediately called Patrol Officer Mazza and it rang three or four times and went to his voicemail. So I hung up and then I called him right back. And that time he had answered and I told him what happened. And that part of the violation report is accurate. Within 3 minutes I called, told me to stay. And I stayed there the whole time.
Okay.
And while I waited in the yard, you know, I did some other stuff around the house. It took them about 2 hours, just a little over 2 hours, to get there from Safford to Globe.
Okay.
And in that time, I contacted my sister. Just a couple minutes after I called Mr. Mazza, I hung up with him and called my sister and informed her what happened. And so during that time, while I was waiting for Mr. Mazza to arrive, I was in contact with my sister through text and just letting her know that I was still waiting. And in no time at all did I ever take that monitor off of my leg until Mr. Mazza showed up with the sheriff's deputy. and he directed me to show him. So I pulled up my sock, because I had the sock over the monitor holding it together. And I showed Mr. Mazza the monitor, and he directed me to take it off of my leg. And then that was the only time that I had removed it from my body. And he went ahead and looked at it and started doing repairs on it. And he put it back together and then put it back on my leg, connected it, secured it, and then he reactivated it. And in that time, I really didn't give him a full description of what happened. I told him I was working in the backyard, my foot came off the shovel and broke the strap. And also, I wasn't given the opportunity to go to the work area because we were in the front driveway. He didn't let me have the opportunity to go back to that work area where I was digging that culvert and show him exactly how it happened.
Okay.
And by how my foot came off the corner of the shovel, where you put your foot on the shovel and came off, it just hit it just right. It just plucked that strap right out of the socket.
Okay.
And it was just like an accident, you know, during work. I know accidents are preventable, but it was completely unintentional. I didn't mean to do it. I was just working in the yard, and I called him immediately. I sat there and I waited for him, and I had no intention of leaving. I had no reason to take that thing off. I wasn't on house arrest. I could come and go as I pleased. I had all the family support. I had a job lined up. I had everything going for me. I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing. And it was just a kind of a dumb luck accident that happened when I was working. And unfortunately, my description wasn't a clear enough description for the parole officer to make the decision to violate me. And I should have been more careful. I realize that, and definitely, if you reinstate me, I have plans on making sure that thing is protected, and I said this won't happen again.
Okay, Mr. Woods, thank you. So,
yes, sir.
Based on the Department of Corrections and the information and the warrant, I am going to move to find that Mr. Woods was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed, was about to lapse into criminal ways or a company.
Okay.
Agreed. Okay, Mr. Woods, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing, sir. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, sir. We're going to start out phase two with getting some additional information from Mr. Osborne, the parole officer. Then we'll be coming to you, Mr. Woods, and then we'll get some information from your supporters that are on the phone.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Mr. Woods was released from DOC custody on July 27th of 2017. He was arrested on August 31st of 2017 by the Healy County Sheriff's Office on his tech violation. It was returned back to custody that on September 1st of 2017 with 0 days with a community supervision end date of December 27th of 2018. Current conviction, 2003, dangerous drug violation, 10 years. And 2003, molestation of a child, 15 years. He has one term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3-1, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is no SGT or gang information noted. He has minimal disciplinary history. He has a community risk score of G5B4, and he is a level 2 registered vulnerable viable sex offender with dangerous crimes against children cited in court docs. And the victim was an 11-year-old child.
Okay, so according to the information we have, you were recently released homeless, then you were at the Las Palmas Motel at 765 Grand Avenue. Then on August 16th, you moved to your current address where it's your mother, Rosemary Williams, at 9043 South 6 Shooter Canyon, 6 Shooter Canyon, Globe, Arizona, sir. Is that where you were still standing at the time you were arrested?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Since that you were looking for a job, but you hadn't found any verifiable employment, had you found any work?
I did find a job on August 29th. I received two job offers, which I immediately contacted Parole Officer Mazza to get advice on which one I should take.
Okay.
And one was with Pepsi, and one with Jalen Enterprises. And after the conversation with Mr. Mazza, he said that he would feel more comfortable if I took the job with Jalen, which was a job at the Asarco Smelter Copper Mine in Hayden. And that was on the 29th. And I have a written letter here from Jalen Enterprises, Cheryl Spatterford, who hired me, stating that I was supposed to begin work on 9/11/17, and Mr. Mazza was aware of that.
Okay. All right, so it also said that you were directed to obtain 6 offender treatment, but as of the date that of the warrant, that you didn't provide any proof that you had attended any 6 offender treatment or counseling programs. So did you attend any of those sex treatment programs?
Well, here, let me explain. Whenever I got to Globe and we went over our started new conditions with Mr. Mazza, let me back up. Whenever I was in Phoenix and did the initial intake with Parole Officer Berg, he knew that I was attempting to move to Globe, have the parole move to Globe, and he at the time didn't press until we found out if I was approved or not approved. He didn't press the issue of the sex offender treatment, and he waived the parole fee. Now, when I got to Globe, in condition 12, which is special conditions, I have a copy of this also. Mr. Mazza, Parole Officer Mazza, stated that in Globe there wasn't a sex offender program available. So in lieu of that, condition 12D states must participate in and successfully complete the ACCI Life Skills Course Home Study Workbook, which was $85. Now, I hadn't gotten the workbook yet because Mr. Mazza was going to bring me the information on how to receive it when I checked in on my following check-in date, which I guess was the 13th of September, which obviously I didn't make that. So if I had known that I was supposed to do the sex offender treatment, I would have immediately got on it. I have no problems with complying with any of these conditions at all. I will do any of them. The following day, I called Mr. Mazza to ask him how to get this booklet, and that's when he told me to wait until we check in and he'll bring the information. So as far as at that point, I was under the assumption that that's the only thing I had to take was the ACCI Life Skills course.
Okay, so Mr. Woods, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions.
Okay, sir.
Okay, seeing that the board has no additional questions, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir, if I could, I just wanted to go over the 3M device, the bracelet.
Yes.
Some of the specifications, which I went through with the EMU and then trained on from them. It takes up to 88 pounds of pressure to even break that device off your ankle. And it states on both sides of the rubber seals. If it struck the corner of the shovel, I can see where one side would be maybe damaged, but both sides were broken at that time, sir. So it's inconclusive on what he says happened would actually, if it happened that way. So
okay.
It'll take 2 strikes to do that on both sides and break the seals.
Okay, Mr. Rittenhouse.
And Mr. Osborne, if that happened, what kind of message would the parole officer still just gets a message?
And then get a strap alert that is tampered with or being removed, which is what happened.
It's not a different message.
Or what happened with a shovel in the corner. And 88 pounds of pressure is a lot of pressure to get just from digging. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
May I say anything else?
Sure. I want to go to your supporters and see what they have to say, too, sir. Can I do that first?
Okay.
Ms. Williams?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, and at this time, just state your full name, miss, and present any information that you'd like to present to the board.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear what you said.
I said, just state your full name and present any information that you'd like to present to the board at this time.
Okay, my name is Rosemary Williams, and I am Tom Lewis's mother. And the only thing I can say is from the day that he came home to Globe, I personally transported him to all of the places that he had to go, you know, obtain his driver's or his ID, his driver's license, look for jobs, and we did that for 2 or 3 days, and he was attempting to find work. Never, you know, he was just happy to be home. And I don't see where he would have wanted to or had reason to try to escape or whatever, you know, the situation is. So I, and he did have a job, and he had, you know, other places that would hire him. And I just feel that he didn't do this on purpose. It was just an accident, and actually the shovel was still exactly where he left it when he was working on the drain, and he was doing the work for me to, you know, to help himself until he could get a job and start providing for himself. And that's what he was doing, was work around my yard, around my property, as in lieu of, you know, pay. And Mr. Mazza even told me that he felt that it was just a sheer accident. It wasn't something that he had done purposely. And Thomas has been calling, or had been calling Mr. Mazza every day, several times a day, to let him know what he was doing all the time. So I feel it would be unfair to keep him and not reinstate him. So.
Okay, Ms. Williams.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, Ms. Williams, let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. No, the board has no additional questions for you, Ms. Williams. Thank you. You can remain on the line. I'm going to go to Ms. Marr. Ms. Marr?
Yes. Yes.
Please state your full name and present any information that you'd like to present to the board at this time.
Okay, my name is Kimberly Marr. I'm Tom Thomas's sister. I stated with what my mother is saying, he has been trying to do everything possible that is right. As far as him trying to leave or leave the property, as he said, he had freedom to go wherever he wanted. He was not on house arrest. This was an accident. He tried so hard to make sure that he never did anything wrong, to the point where, for example, we all live on the same property. And his boundaries from his curfew from 7 to 7 was 600 feet. I live literally less than 50 feet from him, and he wouldn't go past his front door after 7 o'clock because he didn't want to be in any kind of violation or any question of where he was at that time. He made sure that he wouldn't talk to people that are in our family that are on probation or in any kind of legal issues. He had was adamant about that. Sorry, I love you guys. You know, it worked for me to tell these people this. He just didn't want to do anything wrong to foul this up. He had a job. In fact, he didn't know which job to take. As he was saying, he had a job with Kepsi as well as Jalen. And he was battling with that, and I talked to me about it. He chose the other one, and that would go to the circle with Jalen because it's higher pay, so he can get his obligations taken care of. He had no reason to try to run. It was a sheer accident. As my mother was saying, he had done tons of work around the house, and she dragged the shovel was still sitting there where he left it, and I think it still is still there. I don't feel, knowing and being around him, that he had any intentions to violate, to run, to do anything that would jeopardize his freedom. He did 15 years at this time. Why would he do that? There was no reason for it. And I, there's no doubt in my mind, because when it happened, he called me after he spoke to his parole officer, and he was panic-stricken. And we talked, and, you know, and he said we text messages throughout the afternoon until Mr. Mazes showed up. And he was very worried about this, and I was over there telling him it's going to be okay. You know, it's not, he didn't do anything wrong, and I truly believe there's no doubt in my mind, because I know him and what he was trying to achieve. So that's my statement.
All righty, thank you, Ms. Moore. You can remain on the line. We're going to continue on with the hearing. Did anyone have any questions, Ms. Moore? Okay. Mr. Wood, we're going to come back to you at this time, sir. The board's about to go into a discussion. This is your opportunity. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell the board that you haven't already told the board? And please don't repeat yourself, sir.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say about the strap and the 88 pounds of pressure or whatever it was to break it. He said both sides of the pin strap were broken. Whenever I took the strap off and handed it to Mr. Mazza, one side of the connector was still connected to the strap, and the other side was the one that was broken. So not both of them were broken off. And I just want to let the board know that if given the opportunity to be reinstated, that I will continue to strive to be successful in the community and do the best I can. I did my 15 years, and I want to put prison behind me. I had minimal disciplinary. I set my mind straight on succeeding before I left here, and unfortunately, this incident happened, and I would just like to have the opportunity to earn my freedom, earn my release, and I'm willing to comply fully with any conditions of release or any directives that are made by my parole officer without question. I have no problem doing everything I'm supposed to do to remain free. And I hope that this board will give me the opportunity. And I thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Woods. Mr. Wilson, the board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, so we're going to ask you to remain silent. We'll get back to you when the board's completed their discussion. During the discussion, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. So we will get back with you immediately afterwards, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to ask you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. The board is now into discussion. It really appears that Mr. Wood's been trying to do right. He was doing all the directives that his parole officer, with the exception that he didn't attend the sex offender treatment program. He still has over a year and a few months left on his community supervision. There's some conflict about the monitor that was removed, and he did notify the PO when the monitor was removed. There's some discussion as to the strap. It appears that the pictures that's in here that, if I'm looking at it right, that the strap, one strap was still attached to the actual monitor itself. So I think for me, to make a long story short, according to Mr. Osborne, it takes 80 pounds of pressure to remove that strap. It could have been an accident. I really can't say, but because Mr. Woods have over a year and 2 months left on his community support, he does have the support of his mother as well as of his sister. He was out looking for a job. He did find a job in Dealing Enterprise. I don't think he was able to start working that job prior to being incarcerated. So I'm not opposed to reinstating Mr. Wood back on his community supervision. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Johnson, I somewhat agree with you, although I'm very concerned about the device. But at the same time, freak accidents do happen. So that's the one thing I'm really conflicted about. I appreciate that he had the job lined up, and that's very important. I guess the thing that would kind of push me toward supporting your position would be, it sounds like he really kept his parole officer in the loop, in the info loop. And by the times that we had, from the time the event, the break happened, to the time his parole officer was physically there, it was only a couple of hours. And he didn't go anywhere, he stayed right there. So I'm, you know, I'm tending to lean with you, but I would also listen to my colleagues.
Yes, yeah. To dovetail a bit on what Ms. Rittenhouse said, I'm concerned about the strap break because we don't really know what happened, but it does seem that if you put the totality together that he was being cooperative with his parole officer, and as she stated, keeping his parole officer in the loop. So I don't know if it's a question of scaring him straight or whether or not it was a freak accident, but I'm open.
I didn't say any comment.
I think that and I don't know why I've said this, I think that I would go along with continuing him on community supervision. And one reason is he did not run away, and there is no evidence, and I'm not going to say that it didn't happen, but there's no evidence that he was trying to run away or that he was trying to violate terms and conditions of his supervision. It happened. None of us know whether that was an accident or not, but if he had been trying to run away or disappear and not call his parole officer, that's one thing, but he did not. Therefore, I agree with my colleagues.
Therefore, I'm going to make the motion to continue Mr. Woods on his community supervision with the same conditions that he's had before.
Second.
Agreed. Okay, Mr. Woods? Mr. Woods? Mr. Woods?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yes,
so the board has voted to reinstate you on your community supervision with the, there's some question as to whether it was an accident or moved that monitor in some other fashion or how that monitor was released. However, the board's giving you the benefit of the doubt because it's apparent that you were cooperative with your parole officer. You did contact your parole officer and didn't appear to leave or do anything prior to your parole officer arriving there at the hospital. It is important that you take care of that monitor, you make sure that monitor stays on so that we don't have incidents like this, okay?
Sure.
All right, Mr. Woods, I want to thank you for participating in your hearing today. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Ms. Williams and Ms. Moore, I want to thank you for participating in the hearing today. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.